Well, look who it is.
KFNC.
On Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for. Nicholas is here. Barry's here. Yours truly at the mic. So that means for the next 3 hours, we're going to hopefully do what you like. Take you all the way till 4 o'clock. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on the number one sports radio station in Houston, Texas.
Houston sports leader.
ESPN 97.5.
Are we allowed to say that?
Well, we are.
Okay. That's
you
true.
Use the tag of another competing station, but with the station I tagged with it, it makes sense.
I agree.
See?
I don't know what you just said there, but whatever it is, I agree with it.
They use Houston sports leader, and we
Houston,
use...
We should say Houston's ratings sports leader.
Yeah.
That would be more appropriate than just a generic thing, right?
That would work.
I digress. Boys, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on
with
you?
Very good. Lots of sleep last night, so I'm feeling a little wild and crazy.
How?
8 o'clock.
Oh, boy.
Daddy went night-night.
At 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. Old man style. It was still light out.
With or without the participation of pharmaceuticals in some way, shape, or form?
There was nothing involved. It was just me and my old ass going night-night. That was it.
What is that? 16 hours of sleep?
I got up at 5:30, okay?
Kissed your wife and went back to bed.
No, I didn't take a nap. I haven't taken a nap in the morning in a while. I've got busy, busy things going on in my life, Joel.
Yard work?
I'm a busy man. No, not even yard work. I'm going to do that tomorrow and Sunday.
Wow.
I'm a mover and a shaker, pal. I'm making things happen.
Well, there's a whole lot of shaking, but what's moving?
Everything. Okay. I'm trying to tighten it up.
So what's the deal?
It's funny because the one night I do go to bed at like 8 o'clock at night, I was asleep before Nora, which is very rare that happens because she goes Mimi's like immediately. I was out.
Boy, I wish I could get that
kind
of love at my place.
It's it was a weird night, but I wake up to a bunch of texts and, you know, obviously overnight you always get stuff, but AJ's texting me in the middle of the night, "Hey, what's some good Netflix specials to watch?" And I'm like, "Damn, I feel like I let him down because he was probably up waiting to watch something and now I'm just now getting back to him." And
you sure he didn't text, "What are you wearing?"
I promise it wasn't, okay. "What are you wearing?"
All right.
And if for the record, if anybody's wondering, the two that I recommended to him, because his comedy, like his taste in comedy is in everybody's, is it's all subjective. Like what I like, you may not like. Like I really enjoyed Mike Epps' new special. A lot of people aren't going to like that. But I told him to watch Nate Bargatze's The Tennessee Kid.
Okay.
And Joe Coy's new special. Both of them are pretty good. Because I wouldn't have recommended Mike Epps to him. So if you're looking for two, those are two to watch. I didn't like Aziz's. I thought it was okay. But just a lot of text coming in and stuff. But woke up, man. I was all in a good mood. And you guys know that I've been talking to this manager.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So I get one of my buddies is a lawyer. And I finally just asked him. He's not an entertainment lawyer, but I was like, "Hey, can you just look at this contract?" He's like, "Yeah, his name's Sun Tran. He's a comedian. We've featured him on the show.
And yeah.
He's a lawyer." And he goes, "Dude, this isn't legal advice. So don't mistake it as that. You're going to have to get a lawyer and get legal advice. But in my unprofessional opinion and just as a friend, I wouldn't sign that." I was like, "Oh, damn it." Like, just when you think you're going to make some headway, he was like, "This is awful. Like, you gotta, there's a lot." And, you know, she's probably open to change because this is probably just boilerplate. So she knows that you're going to have some changes. He was like, "As is, don't sign it." I was like, "Dang gummit." So now I'm going to have to work on, "Hey,
that's
what about
the way
this?
These things
what
go.
About that?"
In all my experiences dealing with this, with the Rockets and any, whether it be an employment contract or a flagship agreement or any of those kind of deals,
the first go round, even when you think that you've got a great relationship and you really know the other side, that's when you really got to fine tooth comb it, because that, you know, that's the understanding that, look, right, it's still business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And especially when you get a flagship station that has their own best interests at heart, they're like, hey, we're friends at the table. We may just be able to say this is close to just a quick renewal, but we can throw this or that in. And lawyers like to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're not paying attention, hey, once it's signed on the dotted line, now you really hope that there's a good faith involved, because now you're going to be like, okay, guys, that got through and we signed it, but can we go a little lighter on this, maybe a little heavier on that? And then you hope there's a good relationship, because, man, it's all fair game in, well, once you sign the contract.
I thought I was going to get away with not really having to pay, because I don't know what lawyers cost and how much it costs to have a contract reviewed and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have to outlay a bunch of money just to sign a manager or sign with a manager. So I was like hoping that, but he was like, dude, like, you should see the laundry list of stuff that he sent. He basically just went through the whole contract. Oh, this is all, these are his notes. It looks like the contract.
Yeah, but you have to appreciate him.
I do.
He did take, he did the due diligence to really kind of bore down on it.
Yeah, so it was like, and he's like, you know what? This is just my advice. This isn't legal advice. I'm not, you know, like, none of this. If you need to talk to a lawyer, is basically what he told me. So I was like, okay. So now somebody did send me a link. There's this place called TALA, the Texas Association of Lawyers and Accountants for Artists or something like that. And I was like, ooh, well, maybe I can get, because they'll do pro bono work for artists. And I was like,
I'm an artist. I've seen you. I've seen you draw.
I tell jokes with my pinky up. I'm fancy.
Yeah.
So I hopped on that website, and it's like, oh, as long as you're 300% above or 300%, what was it, 300% above or below the poverty line.
Oh. It's just a phone. I'll grow another one.
You know. Just like, forget it. But in other words, I don't qualify. I make too much money to qualify. And I was like, really? I don't make that much money. Like, I want to get these services for free. But no, it's for literally starving artists. So there goes that route. So now I'm probably going to just have to pay a lawyer to review this contract.
Just like the common folk, Barry. You're going to have to pay. I know it sucks.
I don't have...
Sometimes you have to just reel back into being like the common folk.
I don't have that kind of money. Also, I thought I was going to get in a fight today.
Because your shirt sucks?
Yeah. My shirt sucks?
You know I'm a Heinz guy. Whataburger spicy ketchup. I know y'all are big fans, but you know that I'm a Heinz guy.
Well...
The disrespect.
Right?
Yeah, but it's just a matter of opinion.
I was all pumped about this shirt. I got on... Because I was looking for... You know, Houston and flavors, probably the wrong words to use in regard to a Whataburger
shirt.
Especially
pointing at your chest.
But Houston flavor, right, on the shirts. And I've had somebody reach out like, hey, I'm going to send you some shirts. I'm like, cool, let's do it. So I want to have a Houston-themed shirt every week or something close to it. Whataburger is Houston enough. So I bought this shirt and then had some other people sending me some stuff to help promote their business. So that's cool. So, you know, but what do I eat every day, Joel?
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So here I am, walking in the Chick-fil-A.
Ooh, was your girl there?
With this Whataburger. No, I didn't go to the 610 and Shepherd Chick-fil-A. Location. Yeah, okay. I didn't go to Jennifer's. No, I went to the one by the house where they know my name. They literally yell my name out like it's Cheers and Norm walks in.
Product placement and treatment. Those are
it was
big deals.
It was busy today, so I was like... I didn't really...
Couldn't you just sit with your arms crossed the whole time?
I didn't really think it through.
Well, that's every day.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't food prep. I didn't, but I got like right when I was going, there was like just like it was busy, and this guy was holding the door for everybody. And as I was walking up, he goes, "Nice shirt," and I was like, "Huh? Oh no!" And I walked in. No one said my name. No one acknowledged me. Every day they're like, "Hello, Mr. Barry," because I'm in there. Nope. Nothing. Didn't say hi. Didn't say my order was ready. Just said it on
Nick,
there very nicely.
There's a genuine chance he screwed it up for us, too.
I felt pretty bad about rocking the Whataburger shirt inside Chick-fil-A. I felt like that was... But I don't think that they're direct competitors, though.
No, I would agree with that.
Right? Now, yeah. If I would have wore this in In-N-Out...
Although you do remember
then
that...
Then it would have been like the scene from Anchorman when the two different news teams fought. It would have been like that.
You remember that a lot of the commercials for Chick-fil-A feature the fact that they're going up against cows, and that would be burgers, and that would constitute water. I'm just saying.
That's true.
Just throwing it out there with some logic.
But I didn't wear, like, I didn't go into McDonald's with a Burger King shirt on, right? Like, that would have been. That would have been way worse than what I did, right? I'm just trying to justify this in my mind so I don't feel so horrible.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to do that.
But if Chick-fil-A were to give me a shirt, I'd rock it into Whataburger to make up for it. I would definitely do. Or if I bought a Chick-fil-A shirt. But Chick-fil-A is not inherently Houston or Texas. It's so delicious.
You're digging a deeper
hole. No, it's delicious. Let me finish. It's delicious, and I eat it almost every day. But Whataburger is more Houston and Texas. From a, okay, I will just, can we go to break? Yeah.
So here's the deal. It's an FEF Friday. As we know, F is also for funny. We normally have a comedian of the week, but we've got a little extra something special for you today. Barry's going to tell you a little bit about Robbie Bennett.
Yeah, my guy Robbie Bennett. He is a comedian and a magician. Been in the game for a minute. Funny dude and a fantastic magician. He's got a show tomorrow. His show is called Anomaly, and we're lucky enough that he's doing it here before he's venturing out. I think he's in San Antonio next, and he's working towards something really big with this show. So it's at I forget the name. It's like this Galveston Theater. But he'll have all that info for us. Right. But yeah, he's going to join us at 3:30 today. We'll talk magic. We'll talk comedy. We'll talk showbiz. We'll talk, you know, magic groupies. Like, that's the big question I really want to know. Are there groupies in magic?
If Chris Angel's pulling Playboy bunnies, you know that David Copperfield during his time was probably not hurting.
Wasn't he married to some hot chick, David Copperfield?
I think he was, but I know that Chris Angel was one of the three that were supposedly Playboy. With Hugh Hefner at the same time. You know, they were all like, they had the series that where they were all like married to Hugh.
Was David Copperfield married to Claudia Schiffer?
Yeah, I think that's right. The Victoria's Secret model.
Yes.
So magicians have some pull.
But now we know, okay, like, yeah, big name, like, you know, big comedian
now,
names.
Now, Doug Henning, I don't know, man. That overbite could scare away even the hottest of
I don't even know who that is. Is that a magician?
You don't know who Doug Henning is? One of the most famous magicians of all time?
No.
He kind of was Gallagher with an overbite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry to say it that way, but throwing it out there.
I know, like, there's, you know, comedian groupies and musician groupies. I mean, hell, if Lyle Lovett can pull a hot wife.
True.
That's hope for Nick, too.
You got to be able to hang on to them, but, you know.
Well, yeah. But I'm just curious, like, are there magician groupies?
So we'll find that out. Groupies? So instead of the clips that we normally do of our comedian of the week at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, he's going to be here, so we don't have to do those. We'll catch up with him at 3:30. We have other guests along the way. So if you guys want to chime in like you do, Nick.
Real quick, didn't we get offered free Chick-fil-A today on Twitter?
We did.
And I totally forgot to respond, by the way.
Mm. I liked it, but I didn't know if you guys wanted it or not, so I just liked it.
I wanted to tell them, I appreciate it, because I had already eaten, but it's just ironic that you went to Chick-fil-A with the Whataburger
t-shirt.
We won't
be getting
t-shirt.
Those offers after today. So.
Offered free Chick-fil-A.
I didn't see the tweet, though, until I already had the Chick-fil-A.
Oh, really?
And the shirt on. And the food and the
mean looks and the stares and...
So you did it. You took care of business for all of us. Thanks a lot. All right. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776. That is our HR&P listener line. You can call that line. You can text that line. You can reach us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. So with that being said, we are ready for a good show today. And on top of that, Steve from the Houstonian sitting in with us for
what
a while
up,
and does not come empty handed. He brought us some desserts and treats. So, Nick, you had lunch, but you didn't have dessert. We'll get a picture out on Twitter at some point of that. But the desserts are here. Steve's here. Everybody should be here. The suspects on board for an FEF Friday right here on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, real quick, I want to tell you about Get Upside. Man, I love this app. If you're not using it, go look at my Twitter. No lie, App Barry is funny. Go check it out. I posted a screenshot from one of the users of Get Upside that's also a listener to the Usual Suspects where he showed me he's got $400 in his Get Upside account. Do you have $400 from pumping gas and eating food? I didn't think so. If you're not using Get Upside, you definitely don't. And he's got that cash back, but he's only getting it through the Get Upside app. So you should do the same. Go download it right now. Put it on your phone. It's completely free to download. There's no catch. There's no gimmicks. It's just you getting cash back. That's what it does. That's its job. GetUpside exists to get you cash back on gas and food. And it's so easy to use and easy to download. And make sure when you do, you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you a little extra on your first fill up through the app. You can, my wife got 30 cents a gallon. Now, here's the thing. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon cash back. Every time you fill up, you can get up to that amount. And the same thing with your food. Wendy's, Popeye's, Burger King, Candelaria's Pizza, Cyclone Anaya's. All these places, you can get up to 35% cash back every time that you eat there. And don't forget, you can refer your friends and get some extra money in your account as well. And before you know it, maybe you're sitting on $400 and hey, that's she money. That's money she doesn't need to know about. You can do what you want with it. So go check it out right now. It's free and easy to download. You should do that. And you know what? If you don't like it, don't use it. But I promise you, you'll like it because you like money. So download GetUpside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, the ice is broken. The show is going. It's The Usual Suspects on an FYF Friday on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio with some guests and friends as we continue to roll through hour number one. So, fellas, here's the deal. We know that the trade deadline's fast approaching for your Astros. We already know that people are heartbroken about the fact that Tyler White's gone. They're heartbroken about the fact that Tony Kemp is now DFA'd, which means kind of what Barry was touching on yesterday that we alluded to. He's possibly going to be involved in any kind of move that Jeff Luhnow and his staff make in the next 7 days. But the bottom line is they are still working the phone lines and every electronic means necessary to try and make a move. I have talked to people that have told me that the word from inside right now is that the Mets are the focus for the Astros, but not Noah Syndergaard. Jacob DeGrom is the target. However, that the Mets right now in any deal with the Astros would expect to get Whitley and Tucker in return in a package. And I don't know how you guys feel about that because I know that Jeff Luhnow has been very, very tight vested to say, look, I'm willing to move maybe one, but I'm not sure I'm willing to move two because he doesn't want to deplete his farm system. This is going to be an interesting deal to watch. Do you think that giving up both those guys in one deal for a starter, and in the case of DeGrom, and both guys with the Mets, and actually even with Wheeler involved, but with the two main guys involved, you would have a little team control, which helps them, but is it worth giving up both your top two prospects?
So, one, I mean, yesterday we talked from MLBTradeRumors.com, and Jake Kaplan was the one that was saying that there were a couple of names that were kind of going to be off the market. And Mad Bum was one of them, that the Giants are now in it, or they feel like they're in it. And then the other one was Syndergaard. So it's not surprising that your source would come back and say that DeGrom is the guy. It remains to be seen if they're going to be sellers on both of those guys. You obviously, if you're going in full rebuild mode, then you move both of them. But if you think, you know what, well, we've got a lot of money invested in DeGrom over the next 4 or 5 years. Maybe not the direction we want to get a little bit younger. So he's 31. As far as the trade goes, I would do it. And here's why. Because what you're basically doing, the amount of contract that Jacob DeGrom has is significant. He's signed through 2022 with a player option in 2023 and then a club option in 2024. So you know you at least have him for the rest of this year plus 3 more years. There's not an arm on this staff that you can say that about that's worth a dollar.
And it's insurance if you are indeed going to lose Cole at the end
so
of the year.
So here's what you're trading really for DeGrom. You're trading the potential of Forrest Whitley and his youngness and the issues that he's had both physically and
physically
mentally. So you're swapping DeGrom for Forrest Whitley. Are you better off? Yes. Hell yes. 1,000% yes. It's a no-brainer. What you're doing is you're sweetening the pot with Kyle Tucker. So that's what it is. You might be losing Whitley, but you're gaining DeGrom. The difference, what you would be losing is Kyle Tucker.
And the other thing, when you consider the Kyle Tucker aspect of this deal, is where would he play currently and in the next couple years with this Astros team? The fact that Yordan Alvarez has not only come onto this scene but exploded gives you a lot more flexibility, because you know, here's a big bat in the middle of my lineup that ain't going anywhere for a while, and he's going to hopefully be a mainstay. You've got an outfield where you've got Springer for a couple more years. You know you're going to lose Reddick. Maybe that money goes towards Springer. But you know that you've got that part of it. Brantley for at least one more. He seems to be happy here. At that price range, you think you can do something with him. So unless Tucker ends up being like your right fielder, and even still, I mean, I just don't know. There's so many other options. You have to cut it off somewhere in terms of payroll. You know you're going to pay for your core four guys. You know you're going to pay for the top two guys in your rotation at least. So at some point, you have to have certain positions within the lineup where you're not going to overpay and pay for an exorbitant amount of money for a lot of years, like catcher, like one of the outfield positions, you know, wherever you can, because, you know, Correa's coming up as well. So with those kind of situations in mind, and the fact that you went where I was going to go, the fact that Whitley has had issues with his arm, Bukauskas is another guy that is starting to figure it out again, but he's had issues. We already know that Corbin Martin, who was one of their top five prospects, is done for the year with Tommy John, and it goes back to what we've said in the past. You value these prospects, but you value them, and then you say, what are they going to be for your future? And then you hang on to them and realize 50% of the time, they don't pan out to be who you think they're going to be. And a lot of times, too, injury gets involved. When we look at Martez and some of the guys that were top-of-the-line prospects a year or two ago, they're off the radar now because they've had Tommy John and other issues.
And you talk about potential versus actual. Jacob DeGrom has won a Cy Young, yes, a Rookie of the Year. He's a three-time All-Star. Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker have potential. You can't lead the league in potential.
Right.
So it's when you look at the outfield, Yordan Alvarez likes playing left field. I know everyone wants to force this dude to first base, okay? Mm-hmm. Because Brantley is your left fielder, but Brantley signed a 2-year deal. Right. There's no guarantee that Brantley comes back. There's no guarantee that Reddick comes back. There's no guarantee that George Springer comes back. What you do know is you have Yordan Alvarez long term. You have Miles Straw long term. So you've got two guys in an outfield already that you could claim a position for. You also have Derek Fisher in the minors who has some major league experience. So there's other options, right?
And not to mention the fact, go out and get a veteran.
I was going to say, not to mention the fact that you could sign a veteran to an outfield position. So I am not as worried about a guy like Kyle Tucker because of who you would get. Now, if this was a fringe, you know, a two or a three, but DeGrom is a bona fide. And you look at Syndergaard, he's not even having that great of a year. ERA over 4.
Yeah.
But here's Jacob DeGrom just one more time with an ERA of 2.86, just doing his thing. And wins and losses aren't good, but that's because the Mets are a disaster.
I was going to say, but here's the thing.
Here's his ERA every year. You tell me. 2.69, 2.54, 3.04. Oh, it blew up to a 3.53, a 1.7, and a 2.8. Bye.
See you, Whitley. Young with a horrendous team.
Yeah.
And he won it with what? You have a losing record.
Yeah, he was 10-9. He was 10-9.
10-9. So yeah. One game over 500, and he wins a Cy Young. That tells you on a really bad team how good he was. Now put him on a really good team,
yeah,
and see before he even starts getting into the Brent Strom aspect of it with spin rates and all the other things. Where in most cases, when you see a pitcher coming from the outside to the Astros, you realize Brent Strom is able to work with them to add at least one pitch to their repertoire, and they become even better. I.e., Gerrit Cole. I.e. some of the things they've done with Verlander.
What they did with Charlie Morton.
And what they've done with Charlie Morton. I love the whole just big picture and short-term right now aspects of this deal. I would do it too. And here's the other thing, the other factor that I don't think people are remembering. In the short time when we've seen Kyle Tucker, he does not look good on the major league level. He has struggled at the plate. And I know we say most prospects when they come up struggle at the plate. But here's a guy that's knocking the cover off of it in AAA. But every time he comes up, I'm like, I get it. It just, he's supposed to be a power hitter. I don't see the power. He's supposed to, you know, have a good eye at the plate. I don't see that on a consistent basis. And I'm like, I'm sure he can develop it. But by the time he develops it, is the rest of this team going to be around him and be competing for a World Series? Probably not.
Yeah. And there's just, I mean, there's few guarantees. But I would rather take a guy that's been doing it in the league than a guy that, and his numbers, the numbers on DeGrom's contract, it's not horrible. I mean, he's due 23 next year, and then he's at 33, 33, and then the player option for 30. Chances are he's not going to flex that player option at 30. He's probably going to hit the free agency and want to go get more money. But, I mean, 33 is a lot, but that's what he's worth. I mean, that's the dude. He's got a Cy Young under his belt and you know, three-time All-Star, ERA champion or ERA title. This is a legitimate frontline one.
No doubt. And when we're juggling all that money,
you got to
pay for that. Yeah, if you get him at that rate that you just said, you got to believe Garrett Cole's new contract is going to be bigger than that on a year-to-year basis than what he's getting. Yeah. And that's something you got to take into consideration,
Cole
too.
Will get,
he's going to get in the 30s every single
he'll
year.
He'll get north of 30.
So already just in year one of it for next year with DeGrom, you save, what, $7 or $8 million?
That's true.
So you can think of that about that as well. All right, we can continue to talk some Astros if you want. We've got other things on our plate. And if you want to bring something to the agenda, maybe some Texans talk with training camp day two over there. Rockets in the press conference, Nick, going on right now. Russell Westbrook introduced to the media. Maybe we can pull a quote or two from that by the end of the show. Lots going on, and it always involves you. So if you're a suspect of the show, we appreciate you. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You knew right away. He had someone, but he was gonna be yours anyway. You could be seen with him at all, and still you didn't care. 'Cause in a row behind a door, no one but y'all are there. When y'all are finished, I could leave, and only y'all would know. ESPN 97.5.
Is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the big city on this FEF Friday. You might be already starting the weekend. You might be knee-deep in business. But regardless, you take us with you. We appreciate that. And, of course, if you do not have the app, go to ESPN975.com and you can download it. There's easy instructions to follow. And while you're there, if you missed any part of the show, click on the show tab at the top bar of the page and then catch up on what you missed. FEF Friday.
Catch up? Because I'm wearing a ketchup shirt, Joel. Okay. Never mind.
Isn't that my job to do the dad jokes?
Yeah, but I pull them off.
Oh, is that the difference? Okay. All right. Did you see, by the way, Astros going to the Cardinals? And obviously,
look out.
Cardinals are playing good baseball.
Caught the Cubs.
Yeah.
Tied
and the Brewers right now are on the outside looking in.
Yeah. But Cardinals, I don't know if there's a hotter team in baseball right now.
That's the thing. And so, you know, one, it brought back memories of this used to be a massive, massive rivalry for the Astros, because in division and the Cardinals were always, you know, who they were going to end up seeing. We know the Pujols Lidge history. We know the playoff history. We know all those things. And then lo and behold, did you see what they're doing in St. Louis this weekend?
No, what?
They're having the anniversary of the year the Cardinals eliminated the Astros in the playoffs and they went to the World Series.
Ugh. So they're doing it while the Astros
exactly.
are in town.
Exactly. So they're just going to drag it out.
All aboard the paddy wagon.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Put it right there in front of Astros fans one more time.
That's disgusting.
It annoys me.
Yeah.
Boy, that was, you know, I'll tell you what. When you think about some of the games in those series in the playoffs, though, and obviously
that the Pujols moonshot
that should have broke the window in left field off
stole
of Lidge?
Brad Lidge's soul?
Yeah, that got out that so quick it needed a stewardess.
So what is it? Is it just some weird random off, you know, topic type? Oh, it's year number 11. Like that, though, no one celebrates year 11.
Maybe it is.
If it's 10, 15, 20, okay. I just randomly like, it's year 6.5.
It's year Astros come back to St. Louis. So we're going to do it then because it's the team they played.
There's all aboard Team Paddy Wagon. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, so that's going on. I'll tell you this, though. Some of the memories, like I said, besides the Pujols home run, Jim Edmonds in center field.
Boy, I hated Jim Edmonds. But Edmonds,
he was so good.
He was so good as an Angel and as a Cardinal. Yeah. He was fun to watch.
From an Astros perspective, Roy O.
He was an Astros
just,
killer, too, Edmonds.
Roy O. was huge that year that he came back in game seven and shut him down. And let's not forget that year when Beltran was picked up by the Astros, and he went nuts in the playoffs with defense and home runs and all the things that he did. Man, that was, like I said, underrated in terms of the rivalry between the Cards and the Astros over the years, but there were some good playoff series involved in that as well. So that starts tonight.
Boy, I grew up on Astros baseball in the Central, so I hated the Cubs. I hated Sean Dunstan. I hated Ryan Sandberg. But I hated the Cardinals. I hated the Cardinals, but I really liked Ozzie Smith.
How could you?
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
I loved watching Ozzie Smith play. Couldn't hit a lick, but boy, he could field.
Yeah,
and I would wait on the backflip.
That
was so awesome.
And then he was traded for Gary Templeton. And growing up, I wasn't a shortstop, but I was always a Gary Templeton fan too. Because Gary Templeton, in a lot of ways, was kind of like the new prototypical shortstop. He was defensively good, not great like Ozzie, but similar. He could make the plays. But boy, he was a bigger bodied shortstop, kind of like out of the Correa mold. He could hit for power. I always the Cardinals weren't anything to me until the Brewers moved to the National League.
Right.
And then when I moved here, obviously, I realized it's a big deal because it's a rivalry now with the Astros.
Yeah.
But I've never been a Cardinals fan. And obviously, through those series, La Russa and just that little parrot face and the way, he just, and his little mullet and back and some of the arrogant quotes he had in different media sessions. I was like, not really.
Yeah, my hatred for the Cubs and Cardinals has been replaced by my hatred for the Rangers.
I can see that.
And no one else. Yeah, I just hate the Rangers.
Now, when Garrett Cole goes to the Angels next year, you might.
I might hate the Angels.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I won't. I like Mike Trout. I respect
hard not
what the
to
Angels.
Like
yeah. Well, there was the whole,
and
this
the brouhaha
with
Mariznick and
Jake
Lucroy might change things.
But no, it's not long-term a thing. It's pretty much hate the Rangers and everyone else. You just hope they whoop them.
So I tell you this, I was at the new Busch Stadium.
Busch.
And you want to talk about
head for
a baseball
the mountains
experience.
Busch.
Pretty impressive when you go to a game in St. Louis. Now, I'm not going to say anything great about
great.
The city itself, because you turn the corner the wrong way one time and you could be in a hellacious danger. But I will say this, the entire city on home games, all red.
Everybody from the mall
to the restaurants to the games themselves, boy, they backed that team. They got a hell of a fan base for the Cardinals.
There are no fly-by-nights in St. Louis, that is for sure.
No,
it is Cardinals country through and through. I imagine there's some Royals fans just because of vicinity and people moving and this and that, but you're right, they're knowledgeable baseball fans.
Oh, big time.
They know the game. They respect the game. When opposing players are there and accomplish a milestone or do something great, they acknowledge it and because they genuinely love baseball. So you just can't say enough about them as a fan base.
And just look at the way they handled the Pujols return with class, too. I mean, from the first time he came back, standing ovations and the appreciation of, look, they wanted to keep him there for his whole career, but the fact that he did what he did when he was there was enough for them to make sure that they showed their appreciation. That was a class move.
Yep.
So it should be interesting to see. As you mentioned, they're probably the hottest team in baseball right now. So it's going to be interesting for an Astros team that, again, should have, what, 9 in a row, if not for the late in the A's game on Tuesday night. But nonetheless, Astros playing great baseball too, so it should be a good series this week.
Cubs lost 3 out of their last 4. And don't look now, their schedule is ridiculous. They've got 3 against Milwaukee on the road, 3 against the Cardinals on the road.
Oof.
Then they come home for 3 against Milwaukee, and then 3 against the A's.
Man.
And then they've got Cincy, Philly, Pittsburgh, so it kind of San Francisco. But I tell you what, the next 9 to 12 games, good luck, Chicago.
I hope Cole Hamels calls those games in Milwaukee home games again and see what he gets out of that, because the Brewers need that series to go their way to get back in it.
And, of course, as is the case with most baseball teams, and they've their last 3 series, they've got, 7 games out of their last 10 against the Cardinals.
That's
so
huge.
This could be a lot of fun to watch the Central.
No question
down the stretch.
It. So it's getting fun in the world of Major League Baseball. And like we said, trade deadline fast approaching. That's going to be another big deal. As the other key to what Barry just said is there are so many teams involved and deep into the playoff push, whether it be for a wild card or a division title, that teams that were going to be sellers are now going to be buyers. Another one that, Barry, we didn't mention is the fact that Trevor Bauer, a guy that everybody thought was going to be moved because the Indians have gained so much ground and they're in the heat of it. There's a lot of people that have a school of thought that Trevor Bauer won't be moved, even though they're going to lose him at the end of the year because they need him down the stretch.
I mean, you're two out of the division now because the Twins have cooled off and the Indians got hot. Which I was rooting for because I pretty much had all of the divisions right except for that one. I was like, damn it, come on now. But, I mean, the Twins are fading a little bit.
Yep.
And the Indians are – so if you're – it's kind of like the Giants. Like the Giants now, they're in the thick of things.
Bomb's probably off the market, as you mentioned.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm Cleveland, I'm not moving anybody. Hey, let's see what this team can do. Let's ride this wave. Let's make the playoffs, and whatever happens, happens. I'm not moving anybody
yet.
You
good if the Astros don't make a move relying on Brad Peacock?
As your five?
That's what I'm hearing is...
Or as your four, I guess.
As your four.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay.
He was nails in the playoffs a couple years ago with their World Series run. You wonder if some of his issue this year was injury and he just wasn't telling anybody, because that's usually the case. I think that, you know, I think they do need an arm, but I don't know that I... 1,000% agree with Jeff Luhnow when he says, hey, we can beat anybody.
Yeah, I'm with you.
In a seven game. Well, good luck, because if that Yankees team gets healthy over the last half of the year and they get to full strength.
Now, I watched them just take a beating last night in Fenway. But overall, when you look at that Yankees team and realize what they've been able to do while having so many guys out.
Dude, they're 9.5 up.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the Astros and the Yankees, as we said. But I think when it comes down to it, it's who makes the move and who gets the better move. Between now and the trade deadline, between the two teams, that who has the advantage when you get into the playoffs?
Because you can say that right now, as constructed, we feel like we can beat any team in a seven-game series. And I do agree with that to a certain degree, because you can run Cole and Verlander out there twice in a seven-game series, even on short rest. They've both proven to be durable. They both, so that I would agree with. But the problem is if the Yankees get better and get healthy. So we talk about that they've put up 591 runs this year already, and they're not even healthy yet.
Offensively,
but if
it's
they
not
get
the
healthy
issue.
And then they go out and add an arm,
I'm hearing possibly two arms.
Night night.
If they get two starters to add to James Paxton and everything that they got,
that's not even
look
fair.
Out, man. That's because their bullpen is lights out.
So I don't think you can stand pat. I think if you're Jeff Luhnow and you don't want to mortgage the future, okay. But if you have the opportunity, like we talked about in the second segment about getting DeGrom. And it costs you those two prospects, your one and your two. How important is the World Series to you? Because a guy like DeGrom could be the difference between losing in the ALCS and winning a World Series.
That's the thing. If you want to get down to it, are you focused on a World Series with the team you have now? Or how good is the team going to be when Whitley and Tucker become your main centerpieces?
Yeah.
So we'll continue to talk about that and a whole lot more. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. He cursed his name,
turned and chased the dollar. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one. 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, you okay over there?
I'm good. You caught me off guard. I didn't have my headphones on. You started screaming.
Beautiful.
I wasn't ready.
That's what I'm talking about. That's an early hit.
You ever been in a quiet room with a cat and it made a loud noise and it just jumps up real fast? That's exactly what happened just then. I was not prepared. Meow.
So that was an early hit, not a late hit?
All right. You know what?
You have not checked the social media of text messages yet.
That's correct. And you know what? It was probably a good thing.
Yeah?
Not a lot going on there.
Okay.
Somebody said, Joel, is it FEF Friday or an FEF Friday?
Either one. You take your
you
pick.
Say
we'll roll
it
with
so
it.
Fast.
God, what are you, Mike from Pick Me again? How about pick another battle? I mean, if I go faster, I go slow. You get the word. You know what I'm talking about. So get off of it.
Titan Hugo has a good point about this Cardinals series. He wants to know about the Molina-Astros beef, but Molina's out. So that ain't going to be
it. Oh, it's a great point
he's
otherwise.
Injured, right?
Yeah. But if
is
he's
he still
the,
out? He's on the IL. I know he hit the IL, but I don't know if
he's
still
on
out.
The bench and chirping.
Oh, he'll definitely be there chirping. You know he's going to show up for that.
There's a guy that's been easy to dislike, but you can never take away his ability. He's fantastic. He's a Hall of Fame catcher.
Yeah, I hate to say that.
I know it.
But he really is.
Yeah, he's been damn good for a long time, too.
He's pretty good at his job. I was trying to look at the injury report here. Yeah, Molina's on the 10-day IL. They're missing obviously Carpenter, Ozuna, and Molina, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So we missed those fireworks, because that would be good if he got plunked. I would love that.
Yeah, but again, do you really want to extend this thing? Because now you're talking about whoever plunks him is going to be suspended. AJ's going to be suspended. You saw what happened in the Angels series.
So it don't matter.
So you know if it was going to get down to a plunking someone else, that it would, you know, with the way MLB hands down suspensions, they would probably view this as a continuation of all of the Mariznick thing and then say, well, if we suspended Ausmus for a game and the relief pitcher Ramirez for 3 or 4, then we're going to have to go whoever hits him and AJ Hinch.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, the team's playing good baseball right now, but I wouldn't mess with it enough to, I think just leave it in the past now.
Yeah. Somebody said, wouldn't you want Zach Greinke instead of DeGrom? No.
Older.
4 years
weird,
older.
Weird dude.
Well, not just the weirdness. He's 4 years older. Yeah. He's a good pitcher. But I would take DeGrom just because he's younger and you would have, I think, an extra year of team control. Well, I say team control on his contract. If you plan on trying to sustain these World Series runs.
Here's the other thing, through the
prime of this core, then adding a 31-year-old pitcher with 3 years before his player option would make a lot more sense than adding Greinke, who's 35 and has 2 years left.
And the other thing to take into consideration is Greinke has a no trade and the Yankees are on it. So there's one team you don't have to worry about in terms of making Greinke? A deal with the Yankees.
Yeah.
So then if you run out of options otherwise, Greinke could be in the mix. Otherwise, you realize Greinke's not going to the Yankees.
The cost is the same essentially year by year.
But so. Arizona has agreed to take 10 off a year.
Oh, well.
In any trade because they're trying to unload payroll.
Yeah.
So they said they'll pay 10 of his salary for this year and 2 more, which he has left.
10 total or 10 a year?
10 a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that would help you. Because then that salary-wise, that puts
true.
You... But I'd rather have a guy, like you said, 3-4... This is the Westbrook-Chris Paul trade.
Yeah.
You would rather have the younger guy coming off the better year.
Because you're going to save the 7 the first year of the deal, plus the rest of this year. You know what he's on the books for this year? $9 million.
Greinke?
DeGrom.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about the DeGrom deal.
So the rest of this year, you're not paying much at all. And then, you know, you've got the $23 million next year or 25 because you've got the signing bonus, but you got 33 his base the following year and 33 the year after that. Man, I don't know. With what you save the rest of this year plus the $7 million next year, that makes up for a year of the $10 million at least. So,
yeah,
it's close enough to where I feel like DeGrom is the better pitcher.
Agreed.
And the younger pitcher that I would do that deal instead, even if it meant I was giving up more. Remember, this is about world championships. You'd stop, and I'm not suggesting that whoever texted that thinks like that, but if you're out there saying that's too much, I wouldn't pay that, I wouldn't give this up, I wouldn't do that. Stop having that small market mentality. The Yankees don't manage their ball club year to year thinking about, well, we've got to stockpile talent for 5 years from now. The Yankees are literally about winning World Series and that's it. And the Astros are in the great position. Their front office has put them in a position to think the same way.
Well, that's why I said.
So this hope that they do, and I'm sure that they are.
The Chris Paul Westbrook move, because the other thing is you're paying a little bit more because you got to pay that one extra year of Westbrook at the end of the deal. But you'd gladly do that for younger, coming off a better season with more upside than a Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm with you 100%. Of the two, I'll take DeGrom.
Somebody texted and said, "I love the show and have from the beginning, but Barry's a typical Houston sports fan." For some reason, Texans fans have to hate the Cowboys, and now Astros have to hate the Rangers. I'm an Astros and a Cowboys fan, and I cheer for the Texans and Rangers if their games aren't significant towards the Astros or Cowboys. No, I don't like the Rangers because of the rivalry that's developed as a fan of a team. I just got through telling you that the rivalry changed, and it wasn't there before. There wasn't a rivalry for me in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No, I was going to say, you know what the funny thing was, and you told me this. You told me, whenever you write an article or do anything, don't read the Facebook comments. But when I did the Mariznick article on the fact that the collision with Lucroy could be a turning point in the season, one of the lines I used was, they're coming off a sweep of the hated Texas Rangers. I can't tell you how many people just wanted to comment, I loved the article, but I loved that line more than anything. And they highlighted the hated Texas Rangers. It's a thing.
It is a thing. And listen, I'm a fan of the Astros. I try to be objective. But as a fan of this team, and I have been my whole life, I am also don't like whatever the rival is. I just got through saying before you sent that text that I used to hate the Cubs and hate the Cardinals. But now, are you going to deny that the rival for the Houston Astros is the Texas Rangers because they've been in the division when Hinch and what's his name that's no longer there, the other manager, got into it about styles and they faced off on the field? There's been bench clearing brawls and Bannister. Bro, don't act like there's not this natural and interdivisional rival between these two teams. That's just what it is. And to sit here and say that I hate everything Dallas, you obviously don't listen to this show.
You don't.
Like you claimed, because I'm the one that caught heat for weeks because I said I would love Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex. It's a beautiful city and it's a lot cleaner than our city.
Yep.
So don't bring that. That's not true. Everything you're saying is just having an incorrect and uninformed opinion about my statement. And my statement was about the rivalry between the Astros and the Rangers. It's just like saying, I don't hate the Cowboys because the Cowboys aren't a rivalry for the Texans.
Oh, I do.
You hate the Cowboys because you're a Packers fan and then you went there and they were mean to you.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, I hate the Cowboys because I grew up an Oilers fan, and my cousin and my uncle were Cowboys fans, and they were the most obnoxious fans in the NFL. Those two guys.
Oh, no,
specifically.
All Cowboy fans are.
But, well, a lot of them. But. Yeah. But I also, I hate the Titans because they used to be the Oilers. I hate the Steelers because they robbed Mike Renfro of a touchdown. They didn't, but the rest, there's a lot of it. So don't sit there and try to generalize Nick just because it fit your narrative, because that's not true. I hate Nick just because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really hate any person.
Just pointing out your hatred. I just had to throw that in.
Yeah. You know, it goes Rangers,
Cowboys.
No, I'm sorry. It goes Nick, Rangers.
See? Honesty on an F Yeah Friday is what I like. For sure. F Yeah. All right. We got one in the books. We still got 2 hours to go. The big show. Guest coming up in the final 2 hours. Lots more conversation and opportunity for you to join us. 713-780-3776. HRP Lister Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number two comes up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.